God always, and I'll say this always, Rick has said it plenty of times, always has something for you in Scripture. But you not only need to, as James will talk about, you not only need to listen to it and read it, but you need to do it. We're going to talk about that quite a bit this morning and how God works with it. If you stand with us, with me, thank you. And just so you know, I'm reading out of the NIV. It's a little different than the New King James. I do use four different versions. One of them is the New King James when I study, but I prefer the NIV. So we're going to start in James, first chapter, verse 2, and go to about 8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. Thanks be to God, or I'm sorry, this is the word of God. God, thanks be to God. Father, we thank you for your word, but more importantly, we thank you for people here today that you're going to touch, not because of anything I said, but because of what you spoke to them. Your word is sacred. Your word is holy. Lord, give me the strength to say what needs to be said as we look towards another year. We pray that all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I kind of entitled it, which is kind of funny because it's how Christ develops us. Now, some of you know, and I won't get into all the details, but I had a fairly serious accident in 2022, spent about approximately 2 years recovering from that. But through that, so many, many miracles. So when I talk about this scripture, most of you have read it numerous times. Here's the danger of that, is that scripture that we know so well, we have a tendency to dismiss. I would ask you not to click me off, that you really pay attention to the scripture. I don't care if you remember me or not. You know that I worship with you. I know Rachel and I are here and we're involved. But I don't care what you remember I said. I do care a whole lot what the Word has to say. And the Word has a lot to say about this, because I'll be honest with you, it is my belief that every single Christian should desire to mature in the Lord, without question. Without question, we should want to do that. But now, how is that done? Well, we're about to look at one of the major avenues God uses. He used it in your life in the last year. He's recently used it in our church, as we had numerous people with some surprises, heart attacks, heart issues, other kinds of issues have gone on. So I want you to look, I want you to try and look at trials and testing in a whole new way. Because I don't know if you consider this good news or bad news. I will tell you, you should consider it good news. In 2025, you will still have trials and testing. You will not avoid it. Because it's one of the major ways God desires to help us to grow up. So, how does Christ develop us then? And if you look up here, Christ will develop us. The verse says in verse 2, count or consider. Depends on whether you're using the New King James. And I know a lot of you have that. Some of you have the NIV. Count or consider is actually, either word is an accounting word. And it implies something put to a person's credit. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about this. But what happened in those days, if I was a farmer, I would have grain. I'd put it in a basket. I'd bring it to the market. And they're going to weigh that. And here's how they weighed that. So you've got your basket. They fasten it to a long pole, which is balancing on top of another pole, usually tied with some type of leather thong. Basket's tied on. Over here is an empty basket. And they begin to fill it with rocks. So as they begin to fill that basket, we have a balance. When they reach the balance is when you get paid. So it was so much depending on, and well, how did they do that? It's how many rocks. So almost all of these stones, almost all of them were the same size. But then there would be some smaller ones. It's just like that with trials and difficulties, as we're going to see, is that quite honestly, with our trials and difficulties, our trials and testing, we're going to find that some things are bigger than others. There's the word pure that comes up here, and again, more about this later, but it's uncontaminated, untainted, not polluted, but it also means clarity of thought. So you got to look at your trials and testing, and you may be going through them right now. They may carry over to 2024. Or 2025, thank you. Yeah, forget. It was a fast year. I don't know if it was for you, but yeah, it just seemed to speed by and all of a sudden, boom. So it's a purity of thought. It's thinking as God thinks. It's whole thought. It's not thinking as we often think. And we'll deal with some things that we probably, all of us, have struggled with in a little bit. There's also the word all. Holos is the word all in the Greek. It includes the idea of oneness and totality. In other words, I'm thinking in oneness and totality of what these trials are. You know, one of the things, I guess I just had this thought, one of the things that's interesting is a lot of people, they want to try and figure out, why did God allow this in my life? Because you've got to deal with one of two things. God is big enough, he can stop anything. But he doesn't. God is big enough, he can stop anything. Well, that doesn't mean everything is good. We live in a sinful world. You kind of figured that out, didn't you? As a sinful world, it's not always pleasant. We live in a world that has a lot of diseases. We wouldn't have had that had it not been for Adam and Eve. And yet, you've probably done the same thing I did. I don't do it anymore, but I used to think, oh, if I'd been there. Oh, yeah, if I'd been there, it'd been different. No, it wouldn't have. We'd be in the same mess we're in right now. Because that's us. That's us. And so the sinful world that we live in is diseased. There's all kinds of things going on that is unpleasant. So if you look at count and consider again, The Greek here is to consider or to reckon or to credit, just like I mentioned, to lay one's charge, to impute, to judge, to treat. It is an accounting word. I said that before, but it implies something to put to your credit. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. That's why I repeated it. I want you to keep that in mind. It's something to your credit. You need to understand that trials and testing are for you. For you. Oh, but we haven't got to that nasty word that nobody's happy with, joy. It's all right, we're going to get there. I'm not going to forget it. I'm not going to bypass it because I'm going to guess. Well, I don't even have to guess. Through our small group, through our men's group, and through some other things, I realized that a lot of people don't understand joy. I didn't until I really did some digging around. Joy and happiness are not anything alike. Let me share that a little bit here. So again, word purity. The word purity means, in the Greek, to be sincere and honest. And I told you what else it kind of implies. Up here is the idea of thinking again, strictly God thinking, not your thinking, not my thinking. Because that's immediately what we tend to go to, isn't it? Our thinking. There's usually questions that come into our mind. It's okay to question God. If questioning God was a big issue to him, we'd all be crispy critters. Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't tolerate that, but he understands that because ultimately, God loves us. Now, do you believe that today? Amen. I believe that with all my heart. But I also believe I've gone through some trials. I'll wait. I'm going to cover that in a little bit. So this whole idea of purity, the whole idea of crediting to one. Oh, and here we go. There's the word joy. Joy. An inner gladness. But I can't do that. How can I do that when, let's face it, trials... There can be people that you've loved and cared for that have passed away. Some of them so quickly you just didn't even have time to say goodbye. There are things that come into your life that might be financial crisis, a job crisis, family crisis of any kind, health reasons. Because my wife has an autoimmune disease, I realize, and she's not contagious, by the way, I realize that many of you here have that. I realize many of you deal with depression and other mental illnesses. You don't need to be ashamed of that. It's not a lack of faith, folks. It's not. We live in a fallen world. I can't say that enough. And a fallen world is messed up. And especially autoimmune, I mean, I know in Rachel's case, she can look perfectly fine. And yet she's not. So I have that special kind of bond with autoimmune. But here's what I want to tell you. Why can you have joy about any of that? The persecution, most of us suffer persecution, although I'm here to tell you, I'm not sure we have the stats right, but I do believe there's people in America who have died because they're a Christian. Even though in other countries, that's a daily deal. So when we're looking worldwide, there's many countries. Many Arabic or Muslim-led countries that even the U.S. supports, it's illegal to be a Christian. Literally illegal. Churches go underground. Because they can't praise the Lord, they can't read the scripture, they can't even have the scripture, or they will either be jailed and eventually killed or jailed forever. I mean, they're very open in the Muslim countries. They don't want Christians there. Now, in some countries, yes, there are pockets of Christians, and some countries tolerate that. In some respects, we've become one of those countries that sort of tolerate Christians, sort of. And I don't expect that in 2025 to get any better. So with all these things, I'm to have joy. Yes, I'm to have joy. And here's the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness always depends on outside circumstances. I'm happy at a new car smell. Yeah, until, of course, there isn't a new car smell. And back in the day, I usually it was a used car that, in fact, it still is to this day, a used car that has that new car smell, which is a little mystery to me, okay? And with two boys growing up, it didn't say stay new car smell very long, you know? Because they pile in and, you know, they've been to some sport practice or whatever. And if you've had kids, you know that blessing that you have. It is a blessing. I'm excited about new things that I might purchase or get. I got to tell you my big one. And I only say this because a friend of mine actually here this morning really, in men's group, mentioned this, and I thought, I can't pass this by. I am very happy when I get a double cheeseburger. Huh? Yeah. Anybody with me on that? Anybody? Anybody at all? Oh, you know the rest of you lie? I cannot believe. Oh, yeah, there's four hands up. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, no one. Oh, no, they're so unhealthy. You're right, they are. You know, I got to tell you, I used to have, and part of it's because I've had some little brain injuries along the way, and part of it's just because I can be a little weird in my own head. Well, I've never dreamed of me leaving this world with a bowl of broccoli. My last meal on this earth, a bowl of broccoli. Yep, I like broccoli, but I haven't dreamed of that. But I tell you what, I have dreamed many, many times of a cheeseburger stacked 8 feet tall. And I'm eating every last bit of it. Man, that's the way to go. And if you eat enough of those, that is the way to go. The scripture here in James also uses a term, two terms if you've got the New King James. Various, when it's talking about trials, or many. The word various I like in particular, pokalias, and I think I pronounced that right in the Greek. It's many colored in different shapes. Now understand, the Greek means something a little different to us when it means shapes, it's talking about size. So if you could imagine your life in 2025 and in 2024 in the past, having various trials or many trials. These, in a sense, polka dots are both different colors for a reason. Colors in Hebrew thinking and even in Greek thinking meant different, like colors to us. We have a stoplight. Green means go, yellow caution, or step on the accelerator and beat the red, you know, or a red light. Now, those colors mean something to us. Well, when it comes to trials, they would mean something to the original authors, Greek or Hebrew, and they were different sizes because that's exactly what we deal with. Different size trials. Some trials last a few days. Most trials are not considered a trial, at least not by scripture standards, if it's just a day. It'll last a few days or a few weeks or a few months or a few years. Sometimes a trial you will face until you go home to meet the Lord. I don't like that any better than you do, but there, I can tell you this, there is a God who loves you. I can't emphasize that enough. Who is developing you in ways that if you just stop and think, can I ask you for a minute, just a minute, to think back over the last year. And what did God teach you over this last year? See, you got something. You may not think about it right away, but you've got something right now today that you can think about that God did. How many times did Moses say to the children of Israel, remember when, remember when, remember when? That echoes for us today. Remember when. God did a miracle. You understand in this church body, God did a miracle. We've got people walking around here today that shouldn't have been, if it was humanly speaking, shouldn't have been able to walk around. In 2022, when I had my accident, I have no idea what to this day what happened. I know that apparently, I passed out while riding a horse. I pulled the horse down on top of me. So I had 1,200 pounds of horse hit me. As I came to, I'm sitting on a stool that we use to kind of help mount the horse. I'm sitting on this stool trying to figure out, where in the world am I? I was able to walk 150, 175 yards. That in itself was a miracle. I didn't find out till later. I had 8 broken ribs, punctured lung, head trauma, head concussed, and a lot of aches and pains. And to this day, I have aches and pains, even though I still will tell you I was healed by God. It was a miracle. I had great doctors. I didn't take anything away from them. Don't take anything away from them. They could be believers. Maybe they're not. But I'll tell you what, everybody that came in my room wanted to see the horse guy because he was still alive. So God used that. You understand? God uses you to be a testimony, to be salt and light, folks. We're called to be that. We sang a lot about God's mighty light today. And God is faithful, is he not? And I understand if you don't believe that because I was in that spot one day. But you know, here's the big thing. In my case, not in every case, but in my case, I really firmly believe God caused that accident. Why? Well, that punctured lung got worse. So they had to check out my heart to make sure I would be suitable, strong enough to have that lung repaired. Well, what they found was I didn't need stents. That was the good news. The bad news was I needed heart bypass surgery. Actually, the same thing Dale, Rick, others have faced, where that major artery is clogged at 100% and you're not supposed to be walking around. There are two things to remember. The one won't be hard at all. You were born, and God knew it. And one day you will leave this earth, and God knows it. So when you come through some kind of trauma, some kind of trial, some whatever it is, physical, mental, whatever it is, you need to understand something. If he hasn't let you go, if he hasn't taken you, you're not supposed to be taken. See, it doesn't matter what you and I want, really. Because if you're a Christian this morning, you were bought with a price. I was bought with a price. Jesus Christ came as a babe that we just celebrated, as a man and son of God. And he died on a cross for every single one of you here. Every person that has called upon his name, every person that is a follower, that is a disciple of Jesus Christ, every person he died for. He was beaten to a pulp for you and I. He was put on a cross for you and I. Thank you. Thank you. For you and I. And even if you're here this morning and you're not sure you believe in any of this, I'm telling you, he reaches out to you. He cares about you. Because he wants everybody to be a follower. Let me move on to joy thieves. You know, you got to have people in your life that are encouragers. And to be honest with you, that's if I've done anything this morning, I hope I've encouraged you with the knowledge you have in the Scripture. Because I don't have any knowledge of my own. In fact, this teaching gift, leadership gift, other things that I have, I only have about four gifts. And the only reason I have gifts is because he gave them to me. I didn't say I didn't have any talents. He also gave those to me, interest, talents. I don't have a thing that I earned, that I bought, that I developed. I developed them as God revealed those. And same thing with you. You develop your spiritual gifts. Well, one of the reasons, one of the ways in which you develop them, guess what? You get involved in ministries. That's the way. That's the way. Joy thieves, let me read you a couple of scripture here. There are those who might ask you, what did you do to make God angry? Oh, there would be people who come up, just like with Job's friends, emphasis on friends. There will be those people that will come up and say, well, what did you do to tick God off? John 9:3, though, clears this up, because that even today, as well as 2,000 years ago, as well as before that, that is a thinking that still kind of revolves today with some Christians. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And you probably need to read that again somewhere just to let that soak in. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one will work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, guess what? He shares that light. So you and I, we become light, salt, and light. I think one of the reasons that judgment hasn't befallen on America is because we have an opportunity like we've never had before, where we can share the gospel. Not everyone will listen to you. You don't understand. You don't save anybody. I don't save anybody, but we do plant seeds. Just being kind. Good night, people. And were you out during Christmas? Yeah. Oh, holy night. What happened to that? Huh? I love that song. But I also know not everybody celebrates that. And I don't know about you, but I just refuse to wish everybody, happy holidays. I'm not doing that. Not doing that. I don't do that. Even though I order a lot of stuff online, I'm still in the stores. Rachel's in the stores. You are probably in the stores. Just a kind comment. God will make those divine appointments for you and for me. He does. He does. So Jesus was just answering a question. The disciples, don't blame them too much. They were raised to believe that. That if you had misfortune in your life, well, you did something wrong. Can a trial be the result of something that you did do wrong? Sure it can. Accidents happen. Accidents happen. I had an accident with a horse. It was neither the horse's fault nor my fault. But if God hadn't done that, no one ever realized I need bypass surgery. Nobody. That's why I say I really do believe God had done that. You can have an accident. You can go right through the green light and somebody is colorblind and, crams right into you. That can happen. We know that. So there are some accidents that happen, but let's say you did something wrong. Do you remember the scripture in Hebrews 12, 5 through 11? Turn to there. Otherwise, you can obviously look at it later. And have you forgotten the word of encouragement? Get that, encouragement, that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Did you catch that? He does. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. When my youngest would race his little tricycle out in traffic, because we lived on kind of a busy street, we just didn't pat him on the head and, oh, Jonathan. We didn't beat him either. But we had a real heart-to-heart of why he couldn't do that, because contrary to his opinion, cars didn't stop for his tricycle. They might not even see him. Now, why did I do that? Because I love him. I would still probably say to my kids, if I really thought something was off, I would probably let them know it. I'm not sure they would appreciate it, but I can only hope in time they might. There's one thing about it, especially for you folks who are younger parents. You're always a parent, aren't you? You always are. You're always a parent. So it can be, I won't read the whole passage there, but it certainly is that as you read that passage, you'll realize that God disciplines his children to do right things. Now, there's also there those who will say, if you had the, I love this one. It just aggravates me to no end because it's always taken out of context. There will be those who say, if you just had the faith the size of a mustard seed, remember that one? Let me read just part of it. Jesus is replying here, He replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here and there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, you got to realize the context of that, and context is king when you're studying Scripture. But also, there's a lot of people who will share that verse with you and say, you know, if you just had the faith, you just had that, you know, you realize you wouldn't have to take pills, you wouldn't have to have surgeries, you wouldn't have to. That's just wrong. I'll leave it at that. I'm sorry, that is just wrong. See, the doctors that you and I go to, even if they don't admit it, it's okay. And many of them do admit it. But if they don't admit it, understand the brain they had to be able to kind of put together all this medical stuff, God gave them. And especially if they get a little arrogant. Now, when I had my deal, I didn't have any arrogant doctors around me. I was very grateful for that. But even if they get a little arrogant, you need to just very kindly say to them, Doc, you wouldn't be where you were if it wasn't for God. You wouldn't know this stuff. People that invent medicine, they wouldn't know this stuff if it wasn't for God. I think that is a scriptural way to look at that. Now, the scripture, James also says and uses one of two words that you have, depending on which version you're looking at, face or fall. Let me read this to you again. Out of James here. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face, that's the NIV, trials of many kinds. Again, notice the many kinds there. But the Greek for face or fall suggests an unexpectedness. Do you understand that? That most trials you never saw coming. All of a sudden they're there. All of a sudden it happens. You never saw it coming. There was no warning light. There was no anything. But these things are testing to refine and prove our character, to strengthen our faith. An enticement also, and this is, I put this on here, I knew it would get some of your attention here, but the enticement to do evil, which is not a reference for this, by the way, but there is that enticement when we face or fall, there is the possibility that Satan is working on you. Now, understand something? You know, and I'll go into this a whole lot deeper at another time if I'm up front again. But you need to understand this, is that with this whole thing of an enticement, the devil entices. Devil uses things that we're already attracted to and fighting about in our minds. Sometimes we don't fight very well. But the devil, who is real, is our enemy. And he is going to do the very best he can to produce things that we're attracted to, that aren't good. Now, in their raw form, they could have been good, but they're not good. And that's his job. God never tempts us. He can't, because he has nothing to do with evil. He don't wants nothing to do with evil. So, let me go back. James, the third verse, when we're tested, and this is a different test. This is a different test. This has godly results. It's not a test you take in school. It's not a test that, and a lot of you have different kinds of things you need to do for work. And there's a certain kind of test. I know I did. Tested faith brings about a depth of character. That's God's job, wanting to develop in you and in me godly character. Tested faith enables us to comfort and encourage others. Oh, that's a big one. I mentioned that before. I'll mention it again. One of the reasons you've gone through various trials, well, let me give you an example. If your person has back issues, and I know there's several of you that do, how would I, now I have some back issues, but I call them minor. If someone has chronic back pain, how in the world am I going to encourage them? I can. But I'll tell you, someone who's going through it and has been through it, they understand that very clear. See how God works? Whatever you're going through, whatever you will go through, it's to use it as a testimony, to comfort and encourage others. Remember again, you were bought with a price? I was bought with a price. I'm real familiar with the price. Tested faith increases dependence on God. Tested faith encourages us to lead a productive and effective ministry in life. Okay, this is hardly fair, but I'm going to ask anyway. Okay, this is a show of hands. You ready? Yeah. Okay, even those that were sleeping now are wide awake. There is no prize. Sorry, no prize. I really should have. The only prize I'd have is leftover Christmas candy. So, and we all know we don't need that. By a show of hands, how many people here are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ? A lot of folks understand that question. It can be a trick question. And I noticed some of you a little hesitant. What is he going to do? I'm not going up front. No, you're not going up front. You don't have to worry about that. My point is this. Every person who is a born-again believer is a minister of Jesus Christ. Every person. You know, Rick mentioned I'm a retired pastor. And yes, I am. And for quite a while, when we moved back to this area, I did a lot of different things to kind of get ready for retirement. All those different things, though, gave me an opportunity. I still was ministering because I had staff people and people that I worked with that gave me a golden opportunity to be able to share what God had done in my life. That's really, I became a Christian because of two guys that I can barely remember who just simply didn't cram Christianity down my throat, and you'll never find anyone doing that here. But who were an example, and the one thing I couldn't argue, because I really wanted to argue Scripture. I didn't know a thing about Scripture, but I wanted to argue it. But most people who want to argue Scripture don't know it. And until you're a Christian, you'll never understand it. It's letters written to Christians. People that haven't made that decision, or at least aren't open to making that decision, will never understand it. That's why we're around. You realize how many misconceptions there are about Christianity? It's just unbelievable. Four important words, and I think with this, I just say this. I knew when I got started, it's the same thing when I teach on Tuesday night. I will tell the group, I think we're going to get through this. So we probably aren't going to get through all these verses, not a big surprise. Unless, of course, you'd like to be here till about 1 o'clock. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sir. Okay. No, I don't blame you at all. It's okay. Because, again, if I'm given the opportunity again, I'm going to pick up right where we left off. If you thought you escaped, you didn't. But these words I need to give you. The one is shown perseverance, and perseverance strengthens our faith. But you understand the translation of perseverance in the Greek means perseverance, endurance, steadfastness, and patience. Huh? Okay. So what would it mean, each one of these particular words? Well, perseverance means patience, endurance, steadfastness, to be patient, to have endurance, steadfast in doing the will of God. It means I'm going to do God's will regardless. Now, I will tell you, I have failed too many times. Listening or doing God's will. I'm trying to correct that. I'm trying to be better at that. Prior to my accident, Rachel and I had left Calvary for a while, and not because anyone here, no one here, did anything wrong. Her mother had been killed in a car accident. She found out she had chronic mono. And then my son, my youngest, who was in the ministry, was interning at a church in Grand Rapids, and we felt it important to support him. So we went. Then he got a job at a church in Grand Rapids, and then we went. But when all was said and done, Rachel came back. I didn't. Now, I was suffering, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I was suffering from PTSD. We'd had some rough road in ministry, and it just all came crashing down. It wasn't because I didn't love the Lord. I just couldn't. I just couldn't. I barely got into the scripture and all of that. So there was another reason for the accident. I woke up in the hospital, and it probably was 3 days. I was in the hospital a lot longer, but 3 days into my stay in the hospital, and all of a sudden I realized as though God had clicked a switch on. And I could see things so clearly. And many of you have asked, so what was that like? I don't know. It's like God clicked a switch on. And I heard him. And I started studying this passage and many other passages and spent a year writing a book, which people are now kind of refining and helping me with that whole process. And I don't know what God has in store for that. I know what patience is, only because I know what pain is. I know what doubt is. James 1:4, perseverance must finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let me finish the four words. Endurance means, again, stand firm. And endurance is more of a mental attitude, where perseverance is actually physical. However, all four of these words, all of them are action words. Now, wait a minute. If endurance is mental, then how in the world can I think of that? You just said it. How can I think of that? As I'm thinking through what God is doing. In fact, it doesn't hurt to say, God, I have no idea what you're doing in my life right now. It just seems so messed up. And God can reveal to you, but I want to say this to you. When you ask God, He will answer you. More than likely, see, what you want is all the nitty-gritty details. And what God is going to give you, I can pretty much guarantee this. This is what you get. You'll hear in your time of prayer that still, soft voice that says, "Will you follow me? Will you obey me? Will you trust me? Will you have faith in me?" I was going to end a little different. We're going to stop. Because if I go on, I'm going to really be late. And I'm not late quite yet. But here's what I want to assure you of. After hearing this and going through some of the things, many of you may feel guilty over something you did or you didn't do or should have done or all of that. God doesn't want you to deal with the past, only to learn something from the past. Don't go that direction. That's where the enemy wants you. He wants you to feel bad because you didn't do this and you did this. No. No. I was in a hospital bed when that light came on. I was depressed up till that minute. I mean, I was down, down, down. Doobie-doo, down, down. I was down. And He lifted me up to see His face. So I want to tell you, I want to end a little differently this morning. I want to tell you this. You've never wandered so far that God hasn't been right there with you. You have never fallen into a deep pit that He hasn't reached down with His hand and asked you to take it and lift you up to see His face. You have never gone in the blackest abyss that His light hasn't been there to guide you out. Never. He's right with you today. He'll be right with you tomorrow, and the next day, and all the days before you, until He calls you home. Now, this is my experience. My experience isn't unusual. In fact, I want to tell you this. I only share a little bits and pieces of this whole accident, not because my thing is bigger. No. Whatever your thing is, whatever you've had to deal with, whether it's physical or emotional or whatever it was, whether it was, you know, a couple weeks, a couple months, a couple years, and you're still dealing with it, your thing is important to God. He loves you that much. He has a plan for you. I don't care if you're 20 or 5. In fact, I got to give credit where credit's due. Jen, you'll never know. We had a conversation out there some time ago when you were talking about the children. You know, we're examples to these children that are coming up. They need us as grandparents or additional parents. Every time we dedicate a baby, you realize the congregation is also responsible. I like that. I want to be that. And as Jen shared, and she shared her passion in her heart, and I'm listening to that, and it was just kind of off the cuff, and I'm thinking, yeah. Yeah. God, give me more people I can pour into. Give me more people I can be the light in the abyss. Give me more people that I can lift out of that hole in the ground that they've dug for themselves. Give me that, Lord. Help me to be that. I am not a perfect person. I'm a long ways from it. But isn't it awesome that God uses the imperfect? We're not perfect yet. Hebrew would say we're not completely complete yet. But we're headed there. We're headed there. And until that day comes, I want to do the best job I can do. I bet you do too. Let His light shine. Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Pray that regardless of how they feel today, and truly there may be some things that they're facing that just have really, really destroyed them, that hurt. I don't know. I just want them to be encouraged that you have never left their side, that you love them with an everlasting love. You love all of us with an everlasting love, even the person who doesn't acknowledge you. Even that person you love, you created them. They're important to you. Now, as we end in worship, I ask you, bless the worship team. I'm so grateful for the men and women who share themselves in this way. May we worship you with a whole heart today. In Jesus' name, amen.